I'm Robert Cervelli, and this is Future Proofing, where we explore how many communities are taking charge of their own future in the face of our increasingly fragile world. I would like to acknowledge that this podcast originates from Nova Scotia, Canada, which is part of the unceded ancestral territory of the Mi'kmaq Indigenous peoples. The territory is called Mi'kma'ki. I'm pleased to announce our Thinkers series of podcasts. Our interview host for the series is Bill Martin from Pugwash, Nova Scotia. Bill runs an online radio program called Six Rivers. See sixrivers.ca for a lot of interesting programming. Bill Martin is also a thinker, one of about 150 people from around the world who participated in the Center for Local Prosperity's climate and anti-nuclear weapons retreats since 2017. With this first interview of the series, Bill and I discuss the Thinkers Lodge, the many thinkers we have invited, and activism in our world today.
There are some people, of course, who talk and others who do. And we're going to talk with a guy right now who's one of those that does, talking about Robert Cervelli, the executive director of the Center for Local Prosperity and the man behind the Thinkers conferences and retreats on climate change. Good morning, Robert.
Well, good morning, Bill. Very glad that we can have a conversation this morning.
Well, me too. I'll just tell the folks here, I first met you in, I think, 2017, and you were making a presentation to the Cumberland County Council looking for some funding, which you did receive, by the way, as you well know, because you wanted to stage an international climate retreat, in fact, a few of them, at Thinkers Lodge in Pugwash. You were planning a three-year program, and that went on from there. And that first retreat and all those since then have really forced and developed and promoted and fostering a grassroots movement that continues to grow to this day. And that's all thanks to you and your organization.
Well, thank you, Bill. That's very kind. And I do have to do a shout out to Cumberland County and to the Village of Pugwash. They've both been very supportive of these events. And of course, a great partnership that we've had with the Thinkers Lodge and also the Pugwash District High School. It's been great support all the way around for the things that we've done. We have done so far since 2017, 12 gatherings, 12 retreats, as you say. And I'm very glad to see that you were able to attend four of those. You know what I would like to do, Bill? This is probably a rare occasion for you. I would like to turn the tables around and interview you about the work that you've done and how that fits in with your attendance at the Thinkers Lodge retreats that we've done, what your thoughts are about the value of those events. I understand from our conversations that you've been a radio talk show host. That seems to be your big passion in life, going back several decades. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm as old as dirt, so it goes back to 1972 in a station in Bridgewater, and I followed it up for 10 years in a station in Cape Breton, and here I am doing it again.
No, that's great. It sounds like you're really on a roll, and I'm really glad to be able to participate in this and in some of the ones we did previously. And I do want to mention that I'm looking forward to a great partnership and the opportunity to bring some of these thinkers literally from around the world. I say from Melbourne to Moscow and everywhere in between. Incredible people, incredible backgrounds, all walks of life, from 15-year-old high school students, retired academics, everybody in between. And to bring those people to your show in this time slot so that you can interview them, get their thoughts about climate change, about nuclear weapons, and just really about the whole situation that humanity finds itself in today.
Well, no question. And of course, it's really telling and quite a statement about Pugwash when you realize you go back 60 plus years to the initial conferences on nuclear armaments and the threat to the world, in fact, a threat to humanity. And now we do it 60-plus years later. We're talking about climate being a threat to the whole world, to our existence, frankly. And as you said, I've had the privilege of attending 4 of the conferences out of the 12. Some of those were online and so on, too. But I was actually at 4 of them at Thinker's Lodge, a real privilege. But in so doing, meeting all of these guys, scientists, politicians, writers, you name it, people of all walks of life, very, very well versed and concerned about the world. And the chance now that we're starting with you today, over the next, well, very long while, perhaps, every second week, going to talk to one of those thinkers who was here in Pugwash.
That's right. So we'll have one of our staff people be reaching out. We have about 160 thinkers, and we'll be reaching out to them, see who's interested, setting up a schedule, and very much looking forward to that. And we will also be taking those interviews that you have with those people, taking the recordings, bringing them onto our website as a podcast series as well. So they'll be able to go out in a number of different directions for the public to enjoy. And our website, by the way, is centerforlocalprosperity.ca. And of course, that's the Canadian spelling of center.
You got that right. I always have to say that too for Hope Center. But you know, it's interesting. This is not the first time I'll be interviewing the thinkers. I had occasion to interview Lil McPherson, yourself, of course, a couple of times. And of course, the one that got me the most was Adam Fenech. And he was a key presenter in the first couple of thinkers conferences. He's one of Canada's leading climatologists from the University of Prince Edward Island, and he kind of set the tone for all the 12 conferences that followed, because at the very first conference he said, and I'm going to quote this, he said, "We are screwed. It's our fault. It's going to get worse, and there's nothing we can do about it." And boy, that set the tone for conversation, I'll tell you.
It sure did, and that was, 6 years ago, so...
2017, you know, actually, 2017.
Well, yeah, coming on to 17, or 7 years ago, so it's, if anything, very telling back then, and it seems to be playing out just as he predicted. So that was a lot of the discussion that we had just last November, or October, I should say. We did come out with a 30-minute documentary film about that gathering. That's going to be available. Information on our website. We're encouraging group screenings followed by a discussion. I just scheduled one this morning with Transition Bay St. Margaret's for May 5th. But Bill, I really wanted to get your thoughts about the importance of these gatherings that we've been having. You've said a few things, but do tell me some more.
Well, I mean, it was interesting how it came about. In fact, I was not invited to the very first conference, other than you invited me for the Friday evening for a little bite of supper, a chance to meet some of the thinkers with the view that that might give me some background, a sense of what's going on, that when you had your final statement, I'd be better versed in making a presentation online for news. And I got there for the dinner, met some people, and then lo and behold, you said, "Well, why don't you come back?" So in fact, I ended up being at the very first one, but that was not planned at all, and then came back for the second and came back for more. And it really astounded me how many different people from different walks of life had something to contribute. Not just words, but suggested actions, and seeing and hearing what people themselves individually were doing about the threat of climate change. And of course, back in 2017, 2018, thereabouts, we were still trying to convince people it was real. And you had a whole lot of doubters. So if you've accomplished nothing else, or we, I guess I can include myself a wee bit, if we've accomplished nothing else, at least we've made them realize it's very real, and it's still a huge, huge threat that requires us all to pull together in community to make a change.
You know, Bill, I think you're absolutely right about pulling together. And I think about the caliber of some of the people that we've been able to have come to these. Back in 2020, I believe it was, we had one of the gatherings was high school youth. And I think we had about six, seven different high schools from across the province sent students. And incredible how articulate, how aware, how engaged they are at the ages of 15, 16, and so on. I remember one youth, very poignant, at the end, she said that my action is going to be going home and no longer being bashful, no longer being afraid to talk about climate change with my family, with my friends, and anyone else that I meet. So it's that kind of bravery at that age that was very inspiring.
I went with you and others from time to time to the high school. You included the students of the high school year one and went back a number of times repeatedly and then had a conference exclusively for youth. And you did others where you broke away exclusively for faith perspective and so on. But involving the youth at that time and continuing to do so, I mean, we created the problem. I blame you and me and all of our generation, certainly. We created the problem, but we're dumping it in their lap. If there's going to be a solution, they're going to be the ones to find it and provide it and make it happen.
Yeah, I think you're completely right. So it's one of the reasons we really took the effort to reach out to a lot of them. And we've gone over to the Pugwash High School a number of times, addressed the entire student body there. And it's interesting. They are the Pugwash High School. And we point out to them that they're not just any high school. They're the Pugwash High School. And the reason being, going back to the original Pugwash Conference in 1957, that work continues today. Pugwash conferences on international and scientific affairs. There's 32 Pugwash chapters in different countries around the world. So there's people following Pugwash globally. And that's what we tell the students at the high school.
Yeah, the Pugwash movement, exactly. And, you know, I remember they had a big anniversary, 60th anniversary, prior, in fact, to your first event. And I met then the president of Pugwash International and Pugwash Canada and the Pugwash movement and learned there were a whole bunch more Pugwash efforts on nuclear disarmament, obviously. And now add to that climate. And it's a remarkable accomplishment. And to know that Thinkers Lodge and the Pugwash movement is known so well all around the world.
And that's absolutely true, all around the world. And I was very happy to see one of the key events at the high school last October is Sean Bunt, the principal, stood up and made the official announcement that the Pugwash District High School has declared themselves to be a nuclear weapons-free zone. First high school in Canada to do that.
Now, some people out there right now, Bob, would be saying, well, whoop-de-doo, we're not going to have nuclear weapons at the high school in Pugwash. But the point being, imagine if every single high school in the world declared the same thing, and those people graduated, went on to advanced education, and became community leaders and even country leaders after making such a statement. It starts with that one step, doesn't it?
It certainly does start with that one step. And you know, even at that one step at that school, it started with one student, Caden Steves. And she got inspired. She went and talked with all the teachers, with the principal, with the students. They put some announcements on the PA system, and that eventually led to a referendum, students signing up, specifically agreeing for that declaration to happen.
And I was there to see that as well. It was quite remarkable. I noticed that the students were very, very reluctant to speak at that time. And what I really learned from that is that there are leaders who will do the speaking for them. And I was very impressed with the number of youth leaders that exist in the Pugwash High School, recognizing them on the street and in the community thereafter.
Oh, and, you know, it was very impressive, even down into some of the junior grades. you know, grade 7, grade 8, there was some students that were speaking out about climate change and some of the other issues. So that's very heartening to see youth stepping up like that.
You wanted to ask me some questions, but I can't help but want to ask you some more. We've had all of these 12 various kinds of retreats and conferences since 2017. Where are you going from here?
This coming year, we're planning a few more gatherings, and these are going to be somewhat smaller and somewhat more strategically focused. We're helping put together a region-wide coalition to build more local food into our food systems across Atlantic Canada. There's an organization that we helped create, the Atlantic Food Action Coalition. And if you Google that, you'll probably find a brand new website. So that's one of the gatherings I think we're going to have this spring to really see how we can move the needle on greater food security across Atlantic Canada.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because people will say, well, that's a different issue. You're going down a different path. But it turns out that growing more vegetables, fruits, and so on that we can eat, growing more of anything is actually helping the environment, because, of course, it's that growth of plant life and so on that's cleaning up the air.
That's right. Anything that local communities can do to provide local needs is also benefiting the climate. So certainly local food production, even home gardens, supporting local farmers, all the rest of that. Local energy is another one that produces less of a carbon footprint. So that's kind of in a larger scale, the work that Center for Local Prosperity does is really work with communities, small local and rural communities, so that they have more agency over their future economically and through climate readiness.
I have a question for you. You're from the Center for Local Prosperity, the group behind, the driving force behind the climate change movement that is now part of the Pugwash movement. Would it have developed as it has developed, it is successful and it has reached the world, would it have done so if you'd held it, say, in Halifax or somewhere else? Did Pugwash itself and the Thinkers Lodge add to the credibility to launch the effort?
Absolutely, Bill. Absolutely. It is a national historic site, and I think we have to keep that in mind. It has some cachet. It has some energy behind it. And you can feel that vibe when you're in the building, when you're on the site, just from everything that's taken place there. It's really the place for what I say, people gathering to have those kind of deep and brave conversations.
And we did. And I sat and listened and marveled and learned, and then was able then to carry a message forward. So my little part was kind of after the fact, but it was a marvel and a treat and an experience I will never forget. And I thank you for the first invitation.
Well, Bill, you know, you're having a much bigger part with your capacity to broadcast shows like this, and certainly to be able to interview thinkers going forward in the future.
I'm looking forward to that. That's 2 weeks from today, same time, and we're going to start every second week now, picking a different of the thinkers. We may be talking to somebody, as you say, in Moscow or Australia, United States, could be somebody just down the street as well. They are varied, they are talented, and they care a whole lot about our world and especially our community.
That's great.
We're into overtime, but that's okay. I'm the boss here, so we can do that. So let me first say this. Thank you, not only for being here today and enlightening me further, but thank you for your effort behind the scenes and during the events themselves in leadership. And you're the guy. You're the man, Bob. You're the man.
Well, thanks so much, Bill, and I look forward to more of a relationship as we go forward.
Indeed it will. Thank you again for today. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.